Good news out of Orlando, Florida. This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Keller in motion left, now back right. Cross sweep to McKnight turning to the right. He's at kind of the 30-yard line and is knocked down there by Gerard Page making the tackle for the Patriots. He remained in the field of play, so the seconds continue to tick away, down to 20 seconds left to play, and it's all over as the Patriots start to leave the field, the Jets leave the field, and the Patriots have come up with a thunderous 45-3 trouncing of the New York Jets here tonight in the battle for first place in the AFC East. Both teams came in at 9-2. The Patriots leave at 10-2. The Jets fall to 9-3.
Now, here to break down the game and look ahead to next week, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
Hey, welcome everybody. Special edition of the Pete Shepherd Show today. It's Thursday, and I will be here until 4 in the p.m. And right off the bat, let me just tell you, Trent Dilfer, you are my new main man, my friend. And not just because you really done your homework this year. One of the few analysts, I think, over the national scenes that really have gotten in, into the numbers that really matter, and came up with, I think, is probably the best quote of anybody in the national media so far, which is talking about Tom Brady, quote, "I think he's going to unleash hell on them," which is very succinctly put, in my opinion, because as I was telling the guys in the crossover, it has become childish. It has become childish. The Patriots are the varsity, the seniors, and the Jets are acting like preschoolers, and that's what they're doing. I mean, it's just they talk a huge game, I'm sorry. I tried once again, as my voice returned over the last day and a half, to try and come up with some other little reasons of how the Jets can stay competitive. And like I said, unless the Patriots turn the ball over like 3, 4, 5 times, and the Jets play a flawless game, as I said on Tuesday, there is no way that this game is going to be anything but a double-digit win by the Patriots. Now, I'll go over my picks later on in the show. You know what I did. I already told you 34-13. That's the score I like the Patriots. I said it on Tuesday. I'll go over my other picks later on. Also coming up on the show today, right here on the Pete Shepherd Show, Dan Lieberfeld from Jets Confidential, one of their magazines. He'll be joining me and try, and maybe he can come up with something. Besides the "you suck, Patriots suck" type of thing, which I don't think he will do that. But you got to give me something. And I have been listening to caller after caller on both sports radio stations over the last couple of days. And the ones who call in who are Jets fans are simply embarrassing. Absolutely embarrassing. They can't come up with anything except just because. Just because. Or put pressure in the middle and Brady will go down. Some of these ridiculous, or they'll watch the Green Bay film, and that's how they'll win. I mean, it's childish. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. The worst thing that happened is the Jets keep running and running their mouths. And Rex Ryan continues to dismiss it as it's okay, defended Cromartie. It's nonstop. It is nonstop. It's going to backfire on them. It's backfired on almost every team that's ever done this to the Patriots. They get killed. And I told you, the last five times teams, not just the Patriots, but five times in the NFL, when a team has blown out, when Team A has blown out Team B in the second meeting of the year, which is usually later on in the season, as you know, I'm not talking about just the Patriots. Listen to me, folks. When Team A has blown out Team B the last five times, heading into the playoffs when they meet again, Team A has done the same thing the last five times. So you want to go with trends? There's one for you. Not to mention, we all know how focused and how dedicated this Patriot team is going to be. The Jets can talk all they want. The Jets are doing, you know, squabbling, talking, crying, bitching, moaning, swearing. It's an embarrassment. To me, it's an embarrassment to the NFL. I think even Herm Edwards came out and kind of said that. I think Jason Taylor kind of summed it all up last week on Sunday when he said, you know, our coach is writing a lot of checks that we have a hard time cashing, things like that. Sometimes have a hard time cashing. Read between the lines there. So my thing is, you know, let them talk. And I keep hearing, and this is why most of these NFL guys, and I'm surprised at some of the coaches and some of the players who are around NFL Network and around ESPN, who just don't seem to do their homework. If I can come up with some of the numbers, why can't they? Why won't any of these players, why won't any of these ex-players and ex-NFL coaches, why won't they talk about what the Patriots accomplished in the second half of the season defensively? Why won't they talk about that they averaged giving up 6.2 points less per game the second half of the season? Why won't they talk about the second half of the season how the Patriots defense gave up 15.6? Why won't they talk about the fact the Patriots gave up only six more points on the year than the nine more points on the year than the Jets did? Patriots average giving up 19.6 and the Jets 19. Why doesn't anybody talk about that? I wonder. I don't understand it. You know, and there's another Washington Post columnist, Shapiro, who was out with something the other day, too. And I got that off Boston Sports Media. And also saw it. Another friend emailed me a copy. And I emailed the gentleman. I think his name is Larry Shapiro. Check out those ridiculous comments he made about Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. I mean, it is absurd. And then you got Brian Kenny on ESPN yesterday. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, Kevin? Brian Kenny on ESPN. We should play some of that.
I didn't happen to hear it.
I listened to it on the internet yesterday. Not live. I listened to it on the internet. And it's not, you know what? It's on my Facebook page as well. I can maybe send you a link. But I'm telling you, this guy went on and on and on how Tom Brady is overrated and went into all these stupid, ridiculous, rinky-dink numbers and quarterback, like quarterback rating. Like Brady had some bad quarterback rating. Quarterback rating is probably the most overrated number in the NFL. If you know anything about football, probably the most overrated number. That being said, Brady has a great one. It certainly has a great one this year, and he has a very good one for his career. You know, and I don't put a lot of stock in that number to begin with, because it doesn't tell the whole story. You know, because you can have a good quarterback rating, your team still lose by a couple of touchdowns. I think that was the case when the Patriots played the Browns this year, as a matter of fact. You know, Brady had two touchdowns, no picks, and pretty decent numbers, and the quarterback rating pretty good, but they lost the game by 20. You know, not saying that Brady had a horrible game, but the whole team in general just didn't play well that day, and that's the last time that happened. But you can tell guys like Brian Kenny, it doesn't matter. The Patriots, and I said this on a Facebook post I put on the other day, it doesn't matter because they could put up, the Patriots could win the next 10 to 15 Super Bowls and put up, you know, numbers off the chart. It wouldn't matter. Guys like Brian Kenny, and he's not the only one. He's not alone. He's certainly not alone over at ESPN among the Patriot haters. We all know there's a lot of them over there. And it wouldn't matter. So these guys are coming on a national radio and some national TV shows and trying to be objective about it. I have yet to hear one national analyst come out, except for somebody like Trent Dilfer, who said today, I'll read you his quotes afterwards, who just said, I think Brady is going to unleash hell on the Jets. I think he's right. I've heard Herm Edwards. I've heard Merrill Hodge. Merrill Hodge was pretty good this morning on EEI. I heard him. I heard Herm Edwards the other day as well. And you could tell, for some reason, nobody will come out and say the Jets are going to get their asses kicked. Some like unwritten rule at ESPN that they won't let somebody come out and say it. Trent Dilfer finally has, thank goodness. He's about the only one. And I know they want the game. I know people around the country want the games to be competitive and all that. Somebody explain to me how this game is going to be competitive. Somebody explain to me how the Jets, if they watched them last week, are going to all of a sudden turn it around, find a pass rush, find a quarterback that's going to play lights out and make no mistakes, come into Foxborough, where the Patriots have lost once in like 28 games. How is that going to happen? The answer is very simple. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Because I told you, this team right now, the Patriots, are a juggernaut and a wrecking machine. And people can talk all the smack they want, and I've yet to find somebody to come up with some kind of analysis. And even I'm looking at my guy Vic Carucci on NFL.com, who writes, you know, Jets face difficult task in slowing down a machine like Patriots. All right, yet he gives all these one-on-one matchup edges to the Jets, a lot of them, many of them. So That's just the thing, though. If one-on-one matchups, like, you know, if he goes Woodhead against LaDainian Tomlinson, of course, he's going to pick Tomlinson. It's not about individual matchups, though. It's about what team is the best team. And clearly, it is the Patriots.
You want to hear why Brian Kenny doesn't think so?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Did you find it? Listen, listen. This is Brian Kenny. This is yesterday's show, Kevin. Listen to this. This is a guy on a national radio show.
Filling in for Colin Cowherd.
Yeah, filling in for Colin Cowherd. Now, listen to this objectivity. Now, tell me this guy has watched this team the whole year long or is strictly a Patriots hater. You decide.
Filling in for Colin, here's Brian Kenny.
All right, good morning, everybody. Brian Kenny here. Let me tell you why Tom Brady is vastly overrated. And I like bringing this up now because no one is saying it.
What a tool.
Everyone is finally given up, right? It's like an avalanche of thought.
Given up.
It's groupthink. No one can think on their own anymore.
Really?
And they're just buried. All right.
Must be talking
because
about your colleagues.
What are the arguments that you bring to the table when you talk Tom Brady? Titles, right? He wins titles. No, Bernard Hopkins wins titles. Roger Federer wins titles.
Great analogy.
Who's a swimmer?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Name a swimmer. Michael Phelps.
Yeah.
I was going to go Mark Smith.
Here's another great
one. But that's earlier, right? Who? Greg Louganis.
Greg Louganis and Tom Brady in the same sentence, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you for bringing up the 80s.
Yeah.
The individual sports, that's when you win titles.
Oh.
Teams win titles. So, yeah, Brady wins. No, he's part of a winning team. Brady is very good. Look, Tom Brady's a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's an excellent quarterback. But people lose their minds. Is he the best quarterback now? I don't think so. Maybe he is. Maybe he was this year. Maybe. It's close. But how do you know that? What's the first? Let me ask
maybe
you guys.
Maybe,
all right? All the cronies.
What an
here.
Idiot.
You guys
what
say
an idiot.
Tom Brady is great. Why do you say Tom Brady is great this year?
Oh,
why?
My God.
Anything?
Can you imagine this?
Rivet.
Can you imagine this guy posing this question?
A quarterback rating, maybe? He's number one in quarterback rating. Do you like that?
Yeah.
Yards per attempt, right? Let me see. He has 36 touches, right? All those things, right?
Can you believe
this?
And
the team's record. All right, but we already established that that's the team. He's a big part of the team.
What do you do, take a dump
very
on your lawn?
Part of it,
I mean.
But that's the team. Now, his statistics, all right, let's go by statistics.
All right.
This year, I'll give you the top five quarterbacks in quarterback rating. I know everyone trashes quarterback rating. Guys in the analytic community trash quarterback rating.
Yeah.
And yet, let me give you the top five and see if it syncs up with what you're thinking.
Oh,
Tom Brady, number one. Philip Rivers, 2. Aaron Rodgers, 3. Michael Vick, 4th. Ben Roethlisberger, 5th. It's perfect, right? Isn't that what you're thinking? Right. It's perfect. It's really what you are thinking as far as, hey, where do they stack up? And we know Drew Brees did not have a great year, still did a lot of good things, but he's 12.
Yeah.
And we know Peyton Manning had some great games, also had some lousy games, had all those picks, 11 in three games in that three-game span. He's 10th. So an off year for Peyton Manning. All right, Brady, Rivers, Rodgers, Vick, Roethlisberger makes perfect sense. Now, if you want to get into running, like Michael Vick leads the league in yards.
What does that have to do with anything?
Among rushers, by the way. Among rushers. This is how great this guy is.
Where
so you
is
might want
gone?
To give him a little extra credit and move him up.
Who?
But let me tell you how Tom Brady stacks up against Peyton Manning and the all-time greats right now. Using, and this holds through, I do this on
this
baseball
is,
Hall of Fame arguments all the time. Because you can't say, hey, this guy hit 300. He's a good player. Because batting 300 in 1930, you were league average. If you batted 300 in 1968, for example, you led the league. You're the best player in the league. So it doesn't work that way. But if you
That's a
lead
rip on
the
your
league in batting in 1930, lead the league in batting in 1968, it's essentially the same thing. Mm-hmm. You were number one comparatively, compared to your peers.
Yeah.
So let's do a little peer
this
analysis.
This is unbelievable.
With Tom Brady and Peyton Manning.
Listen to
okay?
this. Get your puke bag ready. Listen
so
to this.
So Brady's going to get a little better than this. We're going to go quarterback rating, yards per attempt, touchdowns, interception percentage, and completion percentage.
Yeah.
Okay, low-key science.
Yeah.
Science. All right?
This
How many
is...
times was Tom Brady, and I just pick top, I go top 10, top 5, and number 1. But let's just, I don't want to blow people away here with the numbers.
I can't take much more of this, but as long as people hear this about a minute more.
How about top 5, all right? How many times are you in the top 5? That means dominance. Top 10
this
is
guy
excellent,
is such
top
a freaking
5 is dominance.
Tool. It's pathetic.
Number 1, you're an all-time star.
How do they get to the positions they're in is
top
beyond
Top 5
me.
In quarterback rating. Peyton Manning, 8. Tom Brady, 2. Oh, really? Give one of these. Yeah, there you go. All right.
What is that?
Yards. Total yards. Because I like totals. I can use that.
What?
Peyton Manning, 10. Tom Brady, 3.
So what
yards
is his overall point?
Peyton Manning, 8. Tom Brady, 1. Wow. That's surprising. There's one that, like, Ben Roethlisberger does very well on.
I've had enough.
Yards per attempt.
So that's the kind of logic, folks, that you're dealing with over at ESPN, the Entertainment Sports Network. Brian Kenny. Now, do you think that is, now, instead of taking into consideration the entire package, he throws together numbers. And, oh, by the way, all the numbers throughout were real good numbers. But because Brady isn't statistically number one in every single one of those numbers, he's ripping them. As if any player in any sport, with besides like Wayne Gretzky over his career. I mean, that is absolutely pathetic. That is pathetic. We should have that tool on here, and he can debate me anytime he wants. If that is his analysis into Tom Brady, I hope he points that same analysis at all the other teams that he allegedly covers. Now, it's so blatantly obvious, and I don't know Brian Kenny from a hole in the wall. So it sounds to me like he's a Patriot hater and a Jet fan, probably. Probably grew up in New York or whatever, and is just simply a Patriot hater for whatever reason. But that is not objective analysis. If you have watched Tom Brady play this season, he is unequivocally the most valuable player. It's not even close. It's not even close. Michael Vick had a nice season, did a lot of spectacular things at times this year. But consistent? Absolutely not. Tom Brady had a phenomenal season. And like I said, when you take into consideration, which Brian Kenny's too stupid to do, how this team changed dynamics from week four after Ramos left, or five, whenever it was, until the end of the season, you have to take all of that into consideration. You have to take into effect how the young tight ends, how he worked them into the offense, how Danny Woodhead was worked into the offense, how Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, all that stuff. You know, and he just doesn't get it. And you know what? And it's the reason why he doesn't get it, because it's personal. And it's so blatantly obvious it's personal. It oozes through the microphone. But there's a guy on a national radio show saying crap like that and getting away with it. Maybe not getting away with it. I'm sure a lot of people called up and you know, the problem is on those shows, they don't take calls. That's the problem. So the host, a lot of those ESPN shows, they don't take calls. You just sit there, and it's very vanilla, and you know, they rip and spew, and there's no response. There's no dialogue. Now, there are other shows nationally that are just the opposite. Some of them are letting the callers just rant and rave, and the host just sits back and does nothing, and those are boring too. JT. I mean, those are boring. So that's what you're dealing with. That is one aspect of what you're dealing with nationally, Brian Kenny. And I'm telling you, I hate to even draw attention to the site to even go listen to it, but you really want to get, just laugh. Don't even get angry. Just laugh at it. These guys are boobs. And then when the Patriots come out and they wax the Jets again this weekend, they'll be the first ones to do the beep, beep, beep and back off everything they said. But for a guy like Brian Kenny, like I said, it doesn't matter. The Patriots could win 20 straight Super Bowls, and it's never going to sink in. He just hates Belichick and hates the Patriots. You can contact me at Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Again, Dan Leberfeld going to join me from Jets Confidential coming up in just a little bit. I wanted to get to an email on the web radio on patriots.com, and this is from John the attorney. I heard Mark Schlereth say on Mike and Mike, a.k.a. Sports Talk for Dummies. I kind of like Mike and Mike. I'll be honest with you. I don't watch a lot of it, but I kind of like Mike and Mike. But I don't listen probably as much as some of you guys do. So this is Mark Schlereth on Mike and Mike. That, listen to this. Tom Brady's legacy will absolutely be tarnished by Spygate if he doesn't win another Super Bowl. It is white noise to me at this point, so I didn't really pay attention. Then I had friends text me about the comments. I'm so sick of Schlereth making these comments about Spygate and not being called on the carpet about his two rings with the same Denver Broncos who were caught paying Elway and Davis under the table, strip of a draft pick, and fined $1 million. You are absolutely correct. The salary cap violations that went on during those times were swept under the rug. It's Elway's tarnished because Denver was able to retain him and Davis and surely many other free agents by underreporting the contracts of their two top players.
We need a National Guard We need as many men as you can spare, because we are killing the Patriots.
Absolutely. And you did that day, Shannon, and I was there. And like I said, I remember that game where Phil Simms came up to me. He was being an analyst and said, and the Patriots are on kind of a roll going into that game. They won like three or four in a row. And said, the Broncos can blow out the Patriots today. The Patriots can't blow out the Broncos. I said, you're crazy. Lo and behold, it wasn't even close. It wasn't even close. All right, let's get to the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. 508-543-7482. Pete Shepard Show here until 4 o'clock. Eldridge is up first today from North Carolina. Eldridge.
Hey, how you doing, Shepard? You all right?
Pete's fine. How are your Duke Blue Devils today, unless you're an NC fan?
I'm a Duke fan. I love them.
Ooh, that's a tough one. Tough one last night.
I didn't get to see it because I'm a truck driver. I didn't get to see the game.
Oh.
My question is, what do you think about this week's playoff game coming up? You know, three times the charm or what?
Well, what's three times a charm? What does that mean?
We've played them three times.
Well, yeah, three times. Well, they clobbered them. I mean, I would take a lot more. I would look a lot more into game two than week two. Let's put it that way. And I'm not saying they're going to win 45-3. I think it would be crazy to think that. Although, I mean, you never know. The way they're talking this week, it's just adding fuel to the fire for the Patriots. And I think the Jets are in serious trouble. I think if you watch the way they played, as I said on Tuesday, and I'll say it again today over and over, if you watched how they played on Sunday, they played lousy. It's just Indianapolis played worse. And if the Jets come out and play like that, they're going to get killed again. The only way they have a chance is if the Patriots have multiple turnovers in the game and the Jets have to play flawless, absolutely flawless, and I don't see that happening. I just don't see it. I think the Patriots just have far too many weapons for the Jets to overcome on defense, which is nothing more than a mediocre defense anyway, with a pass rush that over the last 5 or 6 weeks is worse than the Patriots. That's how I see it. I said 34-13 Patriots. I'm sticking to it.
34-13, that's a good pick.
Well, how do you see it? What do you think?
How do I see it? I'm hoping 34-0. I can't stand the Jets.
Well, I know that, but think about it. I mean, I understand Patriot fans who just want to say, I can't stand the Jets, but this is what, see, Jets fans all week have been calling to all the radio stations and not coming up with any specifics. They're just saying, well, just because, and they talk about the quotes more than the substance of the team. So why, if you were coaching the Jets, how would you attack the Patriots? What would you try to do?
What I would try to do?
Yeah.
One, I would take Revis off of Welcher and put him on one of those tight ends, like either Fernandez or Gronkowski.
Yep, Gronkowski, yep.
And then I would hopefully put Cromartie, that maybe he could handle Brett better this time than he did the last time. And then the new cornerback they got, I don't think he can cover either Welcher or Gronkowski one-on-one. And that safety they got back there.
Yep.
I'll keep him in deep coverage. I wouldn't blitz him.
Okay.
Because every time you do, you got to bounce the back end to cover, like say, one of those tight ends or another receiver. And Gronkowski made the pay the last time. He paid dearly.
Oh, they did well. And the problem is the guy who was the leading receiver last time for the Patriots was Danny Woodhead.
Yeah, Danny Woodhead.
Over 100 yards receiving. Little guy out of backfield, over 100 yards receiving. And thanks for the call, Edgar. Please appreciate it. I hope your 34-0 score comes true. The thing is, Herm Edwards today broke down a play on ESPN, which I thought was very good. And this is why the Patriots are so much smarter than the Jets. And it was just this one particular play, and you're probably going to see it again. And it's why they're going to confuse Darrell Revis, or not confuse him, but he's not going to be able to guard the same guy every single time. They broke down a play.
You play to win.
That's right. That's right. But they had, it was one play, and the Patriots are going to throw multiple offenses, multiple formations at the Jets. You know this is going to happen. So what happened was they had Woodhead, you might remember this play, Woodhead and Welker in the backfield. Woodhead actually kind of, they hiked the ball. Welker goes in a little bit of motion, but he's still behind the line of scrimmage when the ball is snapped. Welker stays kind of in the backfield, then tries to kind of go out like a little safety valve route. But unbeknownst to anybody else, Woodhead just kind of squeaks between the guard and the center, or the guard and the tackle, just kind of slips through. Nobody watches him, and the next thing you know, it's not Revis or one of the linebackers covering Woodhead as he slips out of the backfield. It's a defensive end. Translation was like a 28-yard gain. I mean, those are the kind of formations that the Patriots can do that the Jets can't do, and a lot of other teams can't do because of the way they are built. and the way they are constructed. There's just simply too many weapons on this Patriots team. The defense is a hell of a lot better, even now, than most national people are giving them credit for. It's much better. Nobody will take into account the numbers I've thrown out there. They just want to go with third down. The third down percentage is 47%. They don't understand it's gotten better over the second half of the season. They also don't understand that the Patriots have averaged outscored their teams 37-15 in the second half of the season on average. 37-15. Okay? That's 22 points. So, of course, some third down numbers might be higher and the net yardage numbers might be higher. But like I said, the number to me that counts is they have allowed 6.2 points less per game the second half of the season than the first half of the season. Why doesn't anybody talk about that? Why? I don't understand it. Because I believe you me, if this was Indianapolis or Pittsburgh, that's all you'd be hearing about. It's still amazing to me, and I don't care how nuts some people think I am, it is amazing to me how this team is perceived in the NFL as opposed to the Indianapolis Colts. It is absolutely nauseating. Nauseating. It's still so much of the country resents what has happened with this team. It's like, oh, they haven't been traditional football power since the original AFL, so, you know, who the hell are they to have all these accolades? But when it's all said and done with the Kraft family and Bill Belichick and, you know, what they've built here is nothing but a classy organization and as close to a dynasty. It is a dynasty. It is a dynasty. I mean, you really think about it, you know, 3 Super Bowls in 4 years, in 2005, if it wasn't for, or 2006, if it wasn't for, you know, the whole team having the damn flu, coming back from San Diego and one bad coverage play Alexander on Dallas Clark. The Patriots probably would have won that game, too, against the Colts. They would have beaten the Bears. 07, it took 3 miracle plays for the Giants to win that game. I'm not taking anything away from them because they deserve it. But it took 3 miracle plays, and the Patriots still had the lead with 90 seconds to go in that game. So you think about also what could have been, what already has happened, and what is about to happen, in my opinion, this year. I mean, that's unbelievable. It really is. And no teams come close. No teams come close last 10, 11 years. No team to doing what they do on a consistent basis. And this is one of those special teams that we've seen. I mean, a lot of the teams have been special. We know the 01, 03, 04, 07. This is as special as those teams. And this might be, when it's all said and done, this might be one of the most talented teams they've ever had. And you see the development at the end of the season. Now, does that mean the Chicago Bears defense? No, I've said it for years. No. But I'm saying overall, when you see the progress at the end of the season and you see how this team has clobbered everybody in their path, the alleged best teams in the league that they have just manhandled and had gigantic leads against, there isn't even a close second of team that has done what the Patriots have done this year. They're a wrecking machine. And no one will come out and say, everybody's trying to come up with nationally because they want the NFL Network and a lot of people on ESPN want the game to be close for rating purposes, even though the game's going to be on CBS. They try so hard. I don't understand why can't you just come out and say, whatever sport it is, I don't care what it is or who's playing, why can't you just come out, if you really think the team's going to get killed, why just can't you come out and say, you know what, they're just going to get beat? And I told you a couple weeks ago, after that Vikings-Eagles game got moved, day to Tuesday night, and it was time they had Saunders and Tom Jackson and Berman in the studio for over an hour. They went through all the highlights of the Patriots the other teams. They got to the Patriots, did like 3 highlights, and John Saunders basically came on and said, he's the only one I've heard be honest about, and said, you know what, he was laughing, he was chuckling coming back from the highlights, said, you know what, I mean, it's like not even fair. He said, if they're running the ball like that, meaning talking about Woodhead, Jarvis, Greenlaw, he goes, they're unstoppable. He goes, it's really that simple. He goes, they're unstoppable. Nobody said anything. They just kind of moved on. Next, here come the Cowboys, whatever else they did. But what is so difficult? Why? And I'm saying, look, if this were the Pittsburgh Steelers and they had gone through what the Patriots had gone through, or the Baltimore Ravens, or Kansas City, if they had put up these kind of numbers, and you go back and see, I'd be saying the same thing. You can't deny what you've been watching, unless maybe some of you or a lot of the national people just don't watch this team enough, except for highlights. I like to think that's not the case. But to me, when you hear some of their analysis, it's blatantly obvious. It's either personal, still against Brady and Belichick, and this guy Shapiro in the Washington Post still wrote about, first of all, he had the facts all wrong about the Matt Walsh crap. He's still is dumb enough to bring that up. Still bringing up Spygate. Here's Schlereth being another idiot, as usual, coming up and talking about Spygate again. Like, that's going to tarnish Brady's legacy. And as the emailer pointed out, why don't you point that hard-hitting analysis at yourself and your Bronco team for the salary cap violations there? Oh, is it frustrating. Anthony says, Pete, that guy Brian Kenny is dumber than Antonio Cromartie. Wow. You're right. He's a tool, a broken one. Let me hang on a second. No, this computer really sucks. These little messages pop up, like it says, you have new mail, but it comes right up in the middle of right, I'm reading the email, so look at now it's gone. Isn't it just amazing? Every year that the Pats dominate, we hear the same garbage every single week from everyone, from ESPN to the retired coaches to players. They are blind. Great to hear you on the radio, brother. Thank you, Anthony. Appreciate it. Anthony, by the way, believe it or not, because I recognize the last name. I won't say it, but Anthony was my Little League catcher back in Continental Little League, back in Warwick, Rhode Island, back in 1978. Great kid. On an all-star team together, and that's the last time I won an all-star game, was in 1978. Was on four other teams after that. I think we lost by the 10-run rule every single time. Anthony was a good catcher, though. I'll never forget. I told him this one. Anthony almost charged the mound. We were 11 years old. I got to restrain him.
What, a guy dust him off?
Yeah, he did. And you're 11 years old.
You have no aim anyway.
It happens. I was coach of third base at the time, and he got dusted, and I came running down. He was like ready to come. He was like, he had those Jack Nicholson eyes, like, I'm going to kill him. And he was kind of mellow kind of kid, too. You know, he wasn't really like that, but anyway, I digress. Back to the emails here. Here's Christopher. Hey, Pete, here's the answer to your question. Jets sacrificed a player or two to put Brady out of a career. But seriously, the recipe for the Jets to maybe win without being ridiculous requires five things. One, Cromartie decides to be physical and tackle the receivers. Two, Sanchez hits the receiver 65% with the ball. Three, LT and Green run the ball a minimum 3.7 yards a carry. Four, Jets D manufactures a fumble. Five, Rex doesn't use up his timeout stupidly. Yeah, but even all that being said, I agree. All that being said, to me, adds up to a Jets playing a flawless game and causing at least one turnover by the Patriots. And I still don't think that's going to be even close enough to win a game. I just don't. I just don't see it. And we're going to take a quick break. Then we'll reset. I want to get to tons of emails I got. Again, you can get to me, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. I also have my Facebook page open. I'll get to those as well. Pete Shepard here until 4 o'clock today. 4 o'clock today. And also Dan Lieberfeld coming up later on next hour from Jets Confidential. We'll get his thoughts and hopes and prayers for the Jets and see if he thinks they have any chance to win. I'm sure he does, but it'll be interesting to see and hear his analysis. All part of the Pete Shepard Show coming up here on Patriots.com.
This is the Pete Shepard Show with Pete Shepard on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
This is weird, huh? Using the internet on an airplane?
Yeah, American Airlines did a good thing here, putting Wi-Fi on their flights.
You know, I actually had the idea a while back.
For Wi-Fi?
Yeah. But my idea wasn't called Wi-Fi.
Okay, what was it called, Brian?
It was called Bri-Fi.
Wow, that's very clever, Brian.
Yeah? Get it? Bri-Fi.
Unfortunately, I do.
Because I'm the Bri?
Wi-Fi, now available on select flights. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast, and it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit verizonwireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Cell phones used to be just cell phones, but today, you can't live without them, like water or coffee. They're indispensable. Take AA.com Mobile from American Airlines. I can book a flight, switch seats, or change my itinerary, all while I'm in line at the coffee shop. It's a wonder I ever put this thing down.
Manage your flight from the palm of your hand with AA.com Mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Of course, when it's time to pick up my double foam mega mocha latte, sometimes I need a free hand.
Now's your chance. Give Pete a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
Well, back here at the Pete Shepherd Show, Patriots.com. Hey, by the way, Kevin, I had a request on Facebook to, what's the name of that song? Somebody wanted to download it or something, or I don't know.
Oh, the one that I used the other
day?
This one. Oh, this one?
Yeah.
I think it's just called Call Me. I don't know. I know it's called Call Me because it's called Call Me Music Bed.
Oh.
But I'm not sure who it's sung by.
Okay. Somebody asked me. I said I'd ask you. But you don't have the answer. Okay. Sounds kind of genetic. Like, not, it's, think, like, it's think, not like you two or anybody.
It was, definitely, it was definitely a Jason Dvorkin find.
Oh, okay. Well, that golly knows what that could be. I mean, Lost 45s or something. Anyway, get to me at Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Email me, webradiopatriots.com. I do have a couple of them. Let me read you the Trent Dilfer comments after. I'm going to get to the Terrell Suggs comments as well. The Patriots aren't even playing this week, but he's already fueling the fire. What an absolute moron. He goes on SiriusXM's Mad Dog Radio today and rips Brady. We'll get to that in a second. I want to get to some of your emails, which are much more important to me than anything dopey Terrell Suggs has to say, but we'll get to that in a second, just for your amusing pleasure. Let's see, who's this from? Kishore says, hope I'm saying that right, could be Kishore, but it says Kishore. Hey, Pete, love your show. First of all, after Pats beat the Jets next week on your show, I want you to start the show with the same laugh the way you did when the Patriots beat the Jets last time. Loved it. Parentheses, if you can play one time now, would appreciate it. Here's my question. Do you think the trash talk by the Jets will affect Pats players mentally? I can't wait, Pats, to bury that fraud team. Yeah, I think they will. I think you heard Merrill Hodge say that earlier as well this morning on EEI. He said it. I think, in essence, Herm Edwards said the same thing this week on radio and on television. I think most coaches don't like it. There was one GM who came out today anonymously and said that you are really, really, really taking a big chance by yapping and yapping and yapping, especially with no real resume to show that you can back up your yapping. I'll get to more of your emails in just a second. Right now, head back to the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482 and check in with Steve. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Pete. Love the show.
Hey, thanks, man. Thanks for checking in. Appreciate it.
Not at all. Here's a number that the guys on ESPN threw out that made me kind of go, wow. Brady, if he makes it this year to the Super Bowl, five appearances.
Yes.
Now, forget about wins, losses, five appearances.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be the only quarterback in history to ever do that.
Yeah.
You know, fine, define greatness however you want to, but there are guys who would pray, forget about wins, losses again, but pray to be in a Super Bowl appearance.
Well, and here's the thing, and here's what my buddy Jay on Facebook says this, and it's a good point. If you heard that Brian Kenny garbage, I mean, he was trying, I mean, it said, Pete, all of Kenny's analogies, talking about Federer, Louganis, and Phelps, are all considered the best of all time. He's making the point that Brady is just that, the greatest. He's just not dumb enough to realize it.
Well, yeah.
And you have to agree with that. And some of the other numbers he threw out, I mean, but that's the kind of mentality that you have to deal with. Now, that's Brian Kenny on a national radio show at ESPN.
Yeah, and I comment on that in an email to you, Pete, where I just, you know, basically once he gets the green-colored glasses off and he's sitting in a cellar rocking back and forth wondering how Rex and the Jets could fail till next season, it'll be fine.
Yeah, no, you're probably right. You're probably right. And you know, I mean, like I said, I don't know him. I know a lot of people over there. I don't know him personally, so I don't know what his sports background is as far as where he grew up. And so, but whether he's either a Jet fan or a Patriot hater, it's one of those two. And
yeah.
Obviously, you cannot put. And this is why, you know, somebody, and this guy Shapiro did it the other day, or Shapiro from the Washington Post, who's going to retire, by the way, and become a journalist professor at the University of Wisconsin. And I said, way to go. I said, and I said to him in an email, I emailed him yesterday, and I trashed him after what he did to Belichick and Brady. And I said to him, I said, he has my email, he has my name, he can get back to me. I offered him a spot to come on the show. But I said, you know what, instead of you coming down here to Foxborough this weekend and throwing that in Belichick's face, I'd love to see it personally. I go, you'll be hiding in a classroom. Telling kids how to hate on the Patriots for the next 20 years. So, I mean, that's the kind of stuff you're dealing with. You know, all these columnists who would never dare say that to these guys personally, to their face. So they go hide behind a column or they go hide in a classroom and say it there, thinking it's never going to have, you know, and thinking they can get away with it. I won't let them get away with it.
No, nor should you, Pete. As a Patriots fan, you know, I lived through the 85 and 91 Pats,
mm-hmm.
where we just got spanked. And you know what? After the Chicago loss, I actually went out and bought a Walter Payton jersey, not because we lost, but because I have that much respect for their team and for Payton as a player.
He was a great player, the greatest running back of all time, certainly one of the top three. And what's sad is that Fat Boy Perry got a touchdown in that game, and Walter didn't.
No, that's true. I forgot.
Rest his soul, by the way.
Class act, class organization,
yep.
And you know, we'll see come Sunday, Pete. You know, as Bruschi said back in the 07 run, we got to take it one game at a time.
That's it, one game at a time. That's all they're going to do. The Jets are obviously taking three games at a time. They're headed to the Super Bowl, in case you didn't know.
I missed the Hard Knocks spot before they actually had a snap, so I'll have to go back and catch that to make sure that I have everything in line.
All right,
brother.
Man. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Back to Web Radio at Patriots.com.
By the way, Pete, just to cut in for a sec. Brian Kenny is from New York and went to St. John's.
Oh, well, gee, what a shot. Okay, there you go.
So there's where it comes from.
Well, obviously. So, I mean, so it's the same. Why do these networks hire people that come on the air and say stuff like that? I mean, you know, and who was making the painting? I think it was Mike Lupica yesterday, in yesterday's Daily News, was making the analogy about, you know, the Patriots-Jets are not a rivalry yet. They won't be. They're not like the Red Sox-Yankees. It's like the Red Sox-Yankees wasn't a rivalry until after the Yankees lost to the Red Sox in 04. Now, that's not true. It's completely not true. Because even through all, and I'm not going to go through the years from 79, we all know the heartache the Red Sox went through before 04. We get it, okay? But it wasn't like in any of those great pennant races that they had, and granted the Yankees won most of them, okay? But it wasn't like the Yankees were so far superior all those years in the Red Sox. They were basically within three games of each other all the time. So I don't think it's a good analogy at all. This is completely different. You're talking about a football team on a completely different level than everybody else in the National Football League right now. Plain and simple. If you have watched these games over the last 6 weeks, and you have watched the playoffs over the weekend, it's not even debatable how superior the Patriots are compared to the rest of these teams. It's not. The Jets are an okay team. They're above average and slightly above average. Even though they won 11 games, they're slightly above average. Look at the games they won this year and what they could have lost. Granted, good teams, I know, and Vince Wilfork said it today, good teams find a way to win those games. I agree with them. I'm not taking anything away from them because I think Sanchez did make some clutch throws down the stretch in some of those games for them to win. But fine. They beat a bunch of teams that the Patriots clobbered by 3 points in overtime. And then they got lost by 42 points here when everything was on the line for them, despite what Rex Ryan says. And some of those other players trying to downplay it now. Because, you know, if the opposite were true, you know, you know, can you imagine if they had won that game? But you knew they weren't going to win. You knew they weren't going to win by the way the Patriots were playing. So it's really, you can try to come up with all these little intricacies I heard Jackie McMullen coming in, who I respect tremendously. She's great. You know, not many people would be better than her. So I just think it's going to be a close game. Why? I just think it's going to be close. Well, just because three. Why? Nobody's giving me a reason why. Nobody. And spare me that it's tough to beat a team three times a season or beat them that second out of time. That's wrong. Teams blowing out a team a second time after they blew them out the first time. That doesn't come into effect either. I just told you that trend is 5-0 for the team that blew out that team A blowing out team B. That trend is gone. Just watch the games. Watch the freaking games. Look at the talent. That's a banged-up Indianapolis team. That's as worse an Indianapolis team and as horribly a coached Indianapolis team as I've ever seen. And if it wasn't for a special teams play by Cromartie and some really bad coaching down the stretch, particularly that 3rd-and-6 run that Caldwell called, or if not him, Tom Moore, the offensive coordinator, which was a bad call, and not letting Peyton throw the ball there, you know, wouldn't even be talking about this. But for some reason, because Indianapolis played so piss poor and Rex Ryan allowed Mark Sanchez to make a throw on his own, all of a sudden the Jets are formidable again. What a bunch of crap. What a bunch of crap. You should smell what you people are shoveling nationally. Smell what you're shoveling. It's unbelievable. Because you know what's going to happen deep down. You know what's going to happen. It's going to be a lot of pain for the New York Jets this weekend. I have seen it time and time again. Other teams, a lot better than the Jets, have come up with, I won't say as much trash talking, because this is as close as many players as I've seen in a while, including the coach. Who I think is just a nitwit, way over his head as a head coach. Respect him as a defensive mind, certainly, but as a head coach, I think he's an idiot. I don't think he's long for New York. I really don't. And I'm telling you, they get blasted this week. I can't wait, because that act, he'll have lost his team. He trash talks all this stuff, and they get blown out again by 3 touchdowns or more. What the hell does he have left? What does this master fat foot fetish motivating jerk have left to tell his players? Again, Rex, you should smell what you're shoveling, man. Surprised at you. Not really, considering you know, the boisterous past of your family as well, but please, smell what you're shoveling. Rex Ryan and Jets fans, you're simply not that good a football team. Sorry, you're just not that good. Hate to break the news to you. Scroll that across ESPN, you nitwits. Warren says, that play with Welker in the backfield was great. Revis was confused lining up next to the linebackers. Yes, this is what I was talking about. And this is what you're going to see more of. That's where Manning and the Colts were wrong last week. They just kept Wayne out wide with Revis on him. They didn't attempt to move him around and put him in motion. Patriots used all their receivers perfectly and lined them up all over the field, which makes it harder for anyone to pick someone up. Eric Smith is terrible on coverage, so look for him to be targeted again, especially when tight ends are roaming around his way. Couldn't agree more. Could not agree more. And that was one particular play that was broken down. Let's see. More here on web radio at patriots.com. So many emails. If only my computer would work correctly, I'd get to them. Let's see. Again, this is just brutal. Here's Norman. on web radio at patriots.com, who says, "Hi, Pete. The Jets don't have the class, talent, and coaching power of the Patriots, but I do like their imagination in play calling. I love the Jets-Colts game, especially when Chris Collinsworth provided a monologue for the sulking Peyton Manning. The Jets have the ball. Brad Smith is playing quarterback, and they're all running the option. What is football coming to? I'm looking forward to the game. I suspect it will go down to the wire." It will not go down to the wire. It will not go down to the wire. Another email that says really nothing on it. Here's, let's see, Tracy in Vegas. This doesn't say anything either. Nothing there. John talks about Suggs in his comments. I'll get to that in a second. Suggs is right. There's never been a bad call in the NFL before. It's all a giant conspiracy against him. Give me a freaking break. Let's open this up. Yes, I agree with that call. It was a little goofy when he dove and brushed Brady in the knee. But are we forgetting something? He dove head first at his knee. I'm sick of this guy. Hey, dumbass, that still happens to be illegal. Blame Brady all you want if you want to hit him and broke his knee again. It still would have been illegal. Suggs, you're dope. Trying to ignore someone is just as bad as injuring them. Say it with me now. Intent. Oh, God. Hey, Pete. Oh, hey, Prickly Pete. This is from, who is this from? Brooklyn Matt. Hey, Prickly Pete, I like your digression back to 11 years old. Hey, I was 11 in 1978, too. I played first base in Little League in Connecticut. The next year, we went 12-3, and my on-base percentage was .550. We freaking ruled. Pete, it's the final hour of your show and the historic 2011 Jets week. Now I want you to amp it up like you never before. It's web radio, for Christ's sakes. Let it rip. I want to hear you give the Jets your infamous Dale Earnhardt treatment and more. Like Kramer said on Seinfeld, let the expletives fly. When the Pats win, I might have a stake outside WFAN studio office building on Hudson Street in Manhattan on Monday morning and get all up in Joe Benengo's mustache mug about how you like them apples. Is that where they are, Hudson Street in Manhattan? They used to be on, I didn't think they were in downtown Manhattan before the series.
I don't really know anything about New York. I choose not to.
Oh, well, New York's great. I mean, I love the city. I mean, it's great. I would want to live there, but it's a great city to visit. A lot of good things about New York. The sports. There's a lot of good things about New York.
The only times I've gone there have been for, like, Red Sox, Yankees games and stuff like that, where I've gotten heckled out of town.
And you didn't have fun?
No, I got heckled out of town.
Dave says, "Hi, Pete. What are your thoughts on the status of Shanchise's right shoulder? I've heard many experts say the reason the ball was sailing on him in Indy was that the shoulder isn't 100%. It affects after the release point and can cause the ball to sail high. There was even a rumor flying around on WFA in New York that Sanchez was practicing left-handed this week. I'm not sure I believe it, but it's interesting." I mean, come on, guys. Come on. He's not going to throw left-handed. Except on a Brett Favre type of a shovel pass or something like that. Also, I'm the guy who emailed you a few weeks ago about the disdain I have the Colts play-by-play guy, Bob LeMay. If you want to laugh, listen to what's called the final play of the Colts-Jets game when Folk hits the field goal. As usual, he literally says absolutely nothing. He stops calling the game. If listeners have NFL Network on demand, they should listen. It's a riot. Prediction, Pats 37, Jets 16. That's right around what I have. I have 34-13. More on web radio at patriots.com. David in Maine says, "Hey, Pete, first time listener, love the show. What do you think about the Pats' run game this Sunday? Everyone's talking about the Jets running the ball and the Pats throwing it. I think the run game will keep doing what they're doing. I think it'll be a great mixture of run and the pass. That's what you're going to see. That's what the Patriots do. You know, they will take whatever the Jets give them. You know, I have no doubt. I mean, like I said, Danny Woodhead was their leading receiver last game. 104 yards he had against the Jets. So, I think it's going to be phenomenal. It doesn't matter. The Patriots have too much of a juggernaut offense for the Jets to stop. There isn't any one thing you can point to. There are all these dumbass analysts who try to come up with some kind of analysis, some kind of different thought, some kind of a new formation. And I love this, the blueprint, the Green Bay blueprint, the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns didn't have a freaking blueprint. Gronkowski fumbled the ball on the kickoff. They didn't have a good day. They played lousy. And just one of those days. The worst week of the season, obviously. They had one bad game and one half of a bad game against the Jets the second half. They fixed that problem. And since the Cleveland game, they have been basically a wrecking machine. with very few bad quarters of football. And please don't throw Matt Flynn and Green Bay out there because that game was ridiculous. No Aaron Rodgers. It wasn't the same emotional effect for that team. Patriots still won. They didn't look. They looked okay. Didn't matter. They weren't going to lose that game. And what did they do? I think what's more important is that they came back a couple of weeks after that and demolished teams again. So it's not like they continued to play that way, which I don't know why anybody would think they would. So that should tell you something, too. No one talks about that either. They want to bring up Matt Flynn in the Green Bay game. They don't want to talk about the subsequent weeks after that, where they crush teams again. More from web radio at patriotjob.com. John is in Alaska. Hey, guys. Would love to see the Pats blow the Jets away with a score of 75-0. Go, Pats. This would shut Rex up a bit. No, probably not. He'd probably say something stupid again, like, we'll go out and play him right now. We'll go out and play him right now.
But most men like to do a lot of things without speed.
Look at Sanchez's stats since, including that absolutely beating at the hands of the Patriots. He has one freaking touchdown since. And he breaks down the numbers. At New England, 17-33, 164 yards, 3 picks. Versus Miami, 17-44, 216, no touchdowns, 1 pick. At Pittsburgh, 19-29, 170 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. I still don't know how the Steelers lost that game, which is why I'm picking Baltimore. That is so, I know, it was kind of a coin flip, but the reason why I picked Baltimore in that game, I'll go over my picks again in about another half hour or so, 45 minutes. But the reason why I picked the Jets Baltimore Ravens to win that game, because they beat the Jets, even though it was opening night. And Pittsburgh was bad enough to lose to the Jets at home. At Chicago, 24-37, 269, one touchdown, one pick. And Indianapolis, 18-31, 189, zero touchdowns, one interception. Total, 95 and 174, 55%, 1,008 yards, 201.6 per game, one touchdown, six picks. I'm calling 59-3 blowout. Well, like I said, does anybody think that Mark Sanchez is going to come in and have some kind of a flawless, perfect game? And I agree with the shoulder part, and that may be partly why some of his throws were high and everything. But this is that quarterback, the same quarterback, that takes two steps forward and one step back. That's what he does. He's a mediocre quarterback. That's it. Mediocre quarterback. All right, going to take a quick break to come back and reset. Then I'm going to get to the Terrell Suggs comments he made, get to my Facebook pals as well, get to more of web radio at Patriots.com. You can also join me here on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Pete Shepherd Show, special edition until 4 p.m. right here on Patriots.com.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
This is weird, huh? Using the internet on an airplane?
Yeah, American Airlines did a good thing here, putting Wi-Fi on their flights.
You know, I actually had the idea a while back.
For Wi-Fi?
Yeah. But my idea wasn't called Wi-Fi.
Okay, what was it called, Brian?
It was called Bri-Fi.
Wow, that's very clever, Brian.
Yeah? Get it? Bri-Fi.
Unfortunately, I do.
Because I'm the Bri?
Wi-Fi. Now available on select flights. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Cell phones used to be just cell phones, but today you can't live without them, like water or coffee. They're indispensable. Take AA.com Mobile from American Airlines. I can book a flight, switch seats, or change my itinerary, all while I'm in line at the coffee shop. It's a wonder I ever put this thing down.
Manage your flight from the palm of your hand with AA.com Mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Of course, when it's time to pick up my double foam mega mocha latte, sometimes I need a free hand.
Now's your chance. Give Pete a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
Back here on the Pete Shepherd Show here until 4 o'clock. We are just moving and flying right along. Again, check me out on web radio at patriots.com. You can email me. I still got a ton of them to get to, and I will get to as many as I possibly can until 4 o'clock. And on Facebook as well, you can post something to my wall, comment. I will read as many of those as I can. And I did put up and I can't remember who gave it to me, but a nice picture of Bill Belichick and Rex Ryan. And you can check out my Facebook page. You have to scroll down a little bit now to find it, but I think you'll be feel free to steal it, share it, whatever you want to do. It's kind of funny. I think it's kind of funny. And it's gotten some pretty good response. On Facebook, Josh says, it's bad. Is it bad when I see a green stoplight and I'm reminded of how bad I want to beat the New Jersey Jets? Tracy says, sorry, Pete, my message was just a subject line. The song is Call Me by Go West. Oh, that's it. Okay, Tracy, thank you. So that's what it is. Bill says, Pete, tweet from Rich Eisen on NFL Network. Food for thought. Of the teams to have ever played Peyton Brady in back-to-back weeks, with the 2002 Titans and won both meetings. Only the 2002 Titans have won both meetings. Okay, yes. That was one of those was a Monday night game, yes. And they won very handily. So, again, the nine teams who have ever played Peyton and Brady in back-to-back games, only the 2002 Titans won both meetings. Do remember that. Gary says on Facebook, can't wait to see what Ryan has up his sleeve to try to out-coach Belichick. Well, it won't be much. It won't be much. He can try all he wants, but we all know what's going to happen in the end. Ray says, hey, Pete, just wanted to say it's great to hear someone just say it like it is when it comes to sports. So one quick question. Where do you think Rex Ryan will bury the ball after the game on Sunday? Thanks. Well, God only knows. God only knows where he's going to bury it. He'll find some interesting plays. I can think of a few. Justin, Pete, my man, the idiot Brian Kenny should stay in his element. He's a boxing analyst. He should stick to talking about boxing talk with Teddy Atlas. I think they have both been slapped around too much. Tom Brady could have retired 2 years ago and would do the moonwalk into Canton. It's like listening to Mike Golic talk baseball. Stay in your element, Brian. Stay in your element. Totally agree. My beautiful friend Megan says, so Pete, I was thinking, Cromartie talking about Brady and his trash talking is comparable to Major League catchers talking about Pedro's trash talking. Even if it's true, they have the ability to back it up when it matters. Now, I mean, there's a bigger difference of Pedro trash. Tom Brady, this whole thing about Brady pointing and stuff, I mean, it's just ridiculous. Absolutely. This is all about Cromartie a couple of years ago after the Troy Brown strip and everything when they won in San Diego in 06. And they did that, whatever it was, that dance they do on the field. Who cares? That kind of stuff, you know, for other teams to get upset about that stuff is childish. Childish. I remember we beat the Eagles and guys scoring touchdowns were flapping their arms like wings for the Patriots. That's who cares? You know? Some of the biggest, these guys are babies, big freaking babies. Somebody's dancing around after, you know, on the field after the game. What do they care? Go in the locker room. Why do they even care? You lost the game, Chargers. You lost the game, Cromartie. You let the Patriots steal that one from you. Get no one to blame but yourselves. More on Brian Kenny. Guy's a clown. Billy says, yo, Pete, great to have two shows this week. Interested in your thoughts on Brandon Spikes working with the scouts team so far this week. Punishment for a day or two. You think he would be huge this week, stuffing the run, considering the lack of depth in the DL? Yeah, he's going to be. I mean, don't read too much into on the practice team and the scout team and doing all that stuff. I wouldn't read too much into that. They have reasons why. I was listening to, I forget what show today was talking about it. Wilfork was talking about it. I heard Wilfork press conference today. Wilfork was talking about his rookie year when Rodney Harrison would volunteer to go over to the scout team just to pick up on some things. So stuff like that happens. Sometimes it's a coaching decision for a little while. But believe me, but Spikes will be starting. He'll be out there on Sunday. Guarantee it. Hey, Sticker Hotline, 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Dan Leberfeld from Jets Confidential coming up in just a little bit. When's he coming up? 3:30, Kev? 3:30, around that time. Still got lots of emails to get to in a second. I do want to read this part about Suggs. Actually, no, let me get to your emails first, because some of you I haven't read yet. So let me get to these first, because, like I said, you guys are much more important than what Terrell Suggs has to say, to me anyway. My good friend Tiffany in Wisconsin, the lovely Tiffany, says, "Hi, Pete. One more thing. When the Ravens played the Chiefs, one of their linemen was flagged for unnecessary roughness for a tackle to Flacco's knees. Flacco actually flopped because he was barely touched. I told myself that the Ravens would decline that penalty out of principle because they have decried and denounced that penalty since the beginning of the year. However, they accepted it. Suggs and the Ravens don't like the so-called Brady rule until their quarterback benefits. Regards, Tiffany in Wisconsin." Yes, Tiffany, you're right. You're absolutely right. Let's see. Here's one from... You're going to have to excuse me on this computer because things pop up and they block what I'm supposed to read, so I have to go and find the proper place to click. If I don't click the proper place, the whole thing will shut down. This is from Mary Beth. "Pete, love the show. Here's a story for you. I live in Syracuse, New York area. I'm in the grocery store this morning wearing my Patriots jacket. A guy comes up and starts telling me how the Jets are going to kill the Patriots, etc., etc. Get to work, and someone else starts giving me lip about the Patriots. Those Jets fans love to talk. I wonder if my jacket says, 'Hey, talk to me. Go Pats.' The problem is that they don't say anything. What does that mean? The Jets are going..." It's like Rex Ryan when he says, "Now go play like a New York Jet." What does that mean? You could say, "Go talk like a New York Jet if you want." I don't understand. I really don't understand what it is.
Let's make sure we play like the New York Jets.
What does that mean?
And not some slap team.
What does that mean? I don't know. If they played like a New York Jet, what does a New York Jet play like? Does anybody know? I'm trying to dissect it. Really, seriously, what does that mean? Play hard? Okay, you can say that about every team in the NFL. What you should adopt the philosophy is go out and play like a New England Patriot and act like a New England Patriot and talk like, oh, that's right, they don't talk. Mind your words like a New England Patriot. This guy doesn't get it. He won't listen. So I don't know what that means to go play like a Jet. I really don't. It must be me. I must be a total idiot because I don't understand. I really don't understand what that means. Maybe it's me. "Hi, Pete. Ivan from Croatia. Love your show. Listen every episode. Believe it or not, even though I live in Croatia and I've never watched the Patriots live, would it make me sick to my stomach if the Patriots were to lose to the Jets. The most recent comments by Cromartie and all the comments from Ryan are stupid. They lack respect for a team that has hands down been the best for the past decade, which is exactly why they'll never win anything in the near future. When they lose Sunday, it will be downhill for them because Ryan will have played all his cards. Brady will have 5 Super Bowl rings." Four, actually. "Dispelling any doubts about his greatness." Should have had 5. Could have had 6. "Weighing into the Manning-Brady debate. Brady's greatest asset in comparison to Manning, apart from the rings, is his ability to play a team role and get the best out of his team by playing to their strengths as opposed to Manning." I totally agree. And that's why I always think Brady has a slight advantage over Peyton Manning. It's just that one little intangible that's there that Brady has that Manning still doesn't have. They're both great quarterbacks. I'm not trashing Peyton Manning. Brady's better. Brady is simply better. Another one from Chris at webradiopatriots.com. I, Antonio Cromartie. Now, what is this? Oh, it said reply to Cromartie's outburst from Christopher. I, Antonio Cromartie, am without sin. I say Brady is a dirty player for pointing at my team as he scores. Behold, I am Lord of the Cornerback, and this slight will just flow off my pristine white and green jersey, but will go unpunished. Give me a break. I've had enough of the blustering of the silly nanny Jets team that can't seem to realize they are the New York paper airplanes. Only way they fly is if someone picks them up and throws them. And with Rex, that's a fat order. Anyone order a pedicure? I love it. Very colloquially put. Oh, my goodness. You know, I'm trying to get to more on web radio here at patriots.com. This is absolutely this is the worst computer ever. All right, this is from Jack. Jack says, give me a break. He pointed. He didn't dance. He didn't celebrate. He didn't insult. Of all the things the Jets do, he pointed. What a scumbag. He must be an a-hole, laughing out loud. I know. Isn't it crazy? Isn't it absolutely crazy? Now, if somebody ever talked like this about Peyton Manning, look at all the people that would come to his defense. I mean, Brady. Who has ever seen Brady go and taunt anybody on another team? Anybody ever see that? I mean, really? Have you ever seen it? they make this stuff up. Steve says, LT has cried for years now about how the coach and Pats are classless. Cromartie's big complaint is that Brady pointed at the sideline. This warrants the kind of sentiment he shared publicly. I would love to hear a media member ask if he feels he's on a classy team now. Does he think that what the Pats do or have done is worse than now how his zero-ring circus is acting now? That's a good question. But nobody would ask him that. Nobody will ask him that. And nobody in the national media will really, I mean, very few. I won't say nobody because I'll read you the Trent Dilfer comments in case you missed it earlier. But nobody has come out and said anything really, really derogatory about the Jets. Why won't anybody come out and just say they're acting like a bunch of children? It's classless what they're doing. It's embarrassing to the league. And they're really embarrassing themselves, and that's why they're going to be embarrassed on Sunday. It's really all about the embarrassment. And the Jets have brought it all on themselves. This is one team you do not do that stuff against. You just don't do it. But I'm going to read you the Trent Dilfer comments first before I get to Terrell Suggs, and then we'll get to our guest, probably Dan Lieberfeld, coming up in just a little bit. So in case you missed it, ESPN analyst Trent Dilfer was on a conference call. I'm getting this off of the Harold Karen-Garigan's column. ESPN analyst Trent Dilfer was on a conference call with the media a short time ago, that's today, and given he knows Tom Brady pretty well, I asked him, this is Karen from Karen's point of view, I asked him how he thought all the name-calling and Jets' personal attacks on him would impact him during the game. And she says, will it fester to the point where the Patriots quarterback will exact even more revenge? Trent says, yep, I think he's going to unleash hell on them, Dilfer responded. I do. Early in the week, I felt the Jets had a chance in this game. I looked for every reason why this thing could be an epic battle, that the Jets could redeem themselves from the 45-3. Then I started to look at more film and realize the Patriots are just smarter than everyone else. And then I look at how they're handling the trash-talking, and yeah, I do think it festers in a good way, he went on. They have the ability to use it, all this stuff, and hold it inside and use it to their advantage come game time. I don't see how this strategy works against the Patriots that the Jets are using. I can see it working against somebody else. I just can't see it working against the Patriots. I think Tom already, with a razor-sharp focus, finds even another level to his focus and his preparation. I can just see him playing one of those flawless football games. Totally agree. Totally. Trent Dilfer gets it. Maybe one or two others do as well. The others are just praying for a freaking miracle and still bringing up Spygate like Schlereth did. I mean, it's just so childish. Childish. And the problem is nobody ever challenged. Schlereth will say something like that, and no one gets in his face about it. They just let him ramble on. Unreal. Unreal. And this is why I said, you know, I said this to Chris Berman. We had, he was a guest on the Big Show when I was there about 3 years ago. And we talked about it. He was very nice and everything. We had a little banter back and forth. But, I asked him, and I said the whole thing to him on the air. I'm like, you know, you got some bozos over there who make it so personal. I go, you guys never challenge them. Why don't you or Tom Jackson step it up and get in their face? Enough of this nicey-nice, we're all a big family thing. Get in their freaking face about it when they say something totally outrageous, when you know it's nothing but personal. Steven says, Pete, great show. Playing like a Jet player means running your big mouth like a bully about your opponent and then not backing it up on the field on Sundays. Oh, you're absolutely right. I guess that's what playing play like a Jet today. Talk like a Jet today. Talk like a Jet today. Cromartie's career picks, according to Mike, equals 18. Cromartie's kids plus baby mamas equals 17. He's finally on the plus. I was on Israel Sports Radio yesterday, by the way, and I said that. I said, you know, Cromartie is, with his seed, has family to small village by 8 different women. So, I mean, maybe you should concentrate more on that. You know, worry about not getting brought back to court for lack of child support. Or having to borrow $500,000 from a team to help pay your child support. You know? But it's just typical. Typical of the Jets. By the way, now let me get to the I read you what Trent Dilfer said. Now, this is, once again, I'm just going to read this to you, and you react. On an interview with SiriusXM Mad Dog Radio today, Ravens outside linebacker Terrell Suggs once again took aim at Patriots quarterback Tom Brady. Here's a transcript of his remarks. We tried to get him live, but I tried to get the tape of it, but couldn't do it. So I'll just read them to you. Steve Phillips, remember him? He was the host. He says, quote, how do you look at Ben Roethlisberger? Again, he's talking to Terrell Suggs, linebacker of Baltimore. How do you look at Ben Roethlisberger? We hear a lot about Peyton Manning, a lot about Tom Brady, and the numbers that those guys put up. Roethlisberger has been one of those kind of blue-collar, tough quarterbacks, and you guys have had some great matchups with them. From your perspective, how do you compare Roethlisberger to some of the other quarterbacks in the NFL? Terrell Suggs. Well, if you ask me, he's definitely up there with them because he has the hardware to prove it. And that's all that matters in this league is Super Bowls. Now, remember that. And he's won two of them. If I'm correct, Manning's only won one, both Mannings, that is, and Philip Rivers doesn't have any, and Tom Brady has three, I think, a questionable three. This guy won the Super Bowl, I believe, in his second year in the league, and I'm not sure if that's ever been done before. If it has, it's been very rare. Phillips. Now, what do you mean a questionable three for Tom Brady? What do you mean by that? Suggs. Oh, you know, you got the tuck rule incident, and then you got the videotaping of the other team's practices. It's just like, okay, what's going on here? You know, but hey, it is what it is. They won the game, so no matter how you did it, but it's whatever. Yeah, that's great. That's really intelligent, you freaking moron. Host Jeff Ricard chimes in. Terrell, how come you and Tom Brady like each other so much? Just imagine that tender moment. Suggs, I love Tommy. Laughter, in parentheses. I don't know. I guess it all brewed from when I nicked his knee, I guess a little bit. I was just, wow, you almost hit a guy and you get flagged? Kind of blew me away. I never knew one man could have so much power. I guess I stand corrected. And as Tiffany pointed out in her email, countered that with what happened with Joe Flacco recently. Phillips says, but what is it about Brady that brings that reaction out in people? Well, see, this is where I have a problem with Phillips. Because there isn't a reaction of people. It's just one knucklehead like Cromartie. Now two knuckleheads and Suggs. Brady has got a tremendous reputation around the league. He's not a taunter. Peyton Manning's not a taunter. You know? This is where media people get a bad rep. And this is why. Because Phillips is dumb enough to play right into this. But what is it about Brady that brings the reaction out of people? Antonio Cromartie has had things to say. Obviously, Rex Ryan had things to say. You've had your own issues with Brady. Does he actually point to the sideline, to the opposition, when his team scores? What is that kind of provokes that kind of strong emotional response from the opposition? Suggs says, oh, I don't know. Maybe because he's Tom Brady and he... Now, listen to this. Here's some great analysis from a professional. Oh, I don't know. Maybe because he's Tom Brady and he dates supermodels. Well, first of all, he's married to one. That can have a lot to do with it. Like, dang, this guy's got the world. He's winning Super Bowls and dating supermodels. I don't feel much better than that. It don't get much better than that. And he gets, you know, rules made for him. He gets to tell the referee when to throw a flag. That's a hen in a handbasket right there. Did any of these guys even graduate high school with this kind of thinking? Ricard said, while we're talking about quarterbacks, talk to me about Joe Flacco. He's kind of like the anti-Brady. He's the lunch pail guy, right? Suggs, definitely. He's cool. He don't say anything. He has no interest in being GQ Man of the Year. So he's just going to come to work and get the job done. You know, he's Joe Cool. That's why he got the difference between the two. What a freaking moron you are, Terrell Suggs. You're a moron. You got to be kidding me. I love it. And that's your approach? So it's all personal with him. Nothing about football. Nothing in there about Tom Brady reading defenses. Nothing about quick reaction. Nothing about quick release. None of that stuff. Nothing about pointing out defenders. All personal fluff crap that means nothing about the game. And that is where the mentality of so many in this country are at right now when it comes to discussing this football team. It's a freaking joke. It's a joke. You ask Jet people about come up with a plan, they say, I don't know, just because Rex Ryan, fat feet, they can do it. They can do it. We're Jets fans. They can do it. Talk to me Monday. We can do it. Shut up. Can't come up with any rhyme or reason. You ask Jet fans if Jets played. You have to ask a Jet fan if you think the Jets played well on Sunday against the Colts. They'll actually tell you yes. They'll actually say yes, they played a good game. They did not play a good game. Indianapolis happened to play worse. They made bad coaching decisions down the stretch. Sanchez played well. He didn't play well. A couple of receivers played well, made some good catches. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. All right, another quick break. And when we come back, we'll try to hook up with Dan Leberfeld from Jets Confidential, see if he has anything to say about the Jets, and maybe he can come up with some kind of a theory of how they're going to stay competitive with this team on this game on Sunday. It's all part of the Pete Shepherd Show. That'll have my picks once again. More emails on Facebook, more on web radio at patriots.com, and the Ace Ticket Hotline is still open, 508-543-7482. Back with more from you guys right after this.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
This is weird, huh? Using the internet on an airplane?
Yeah, American Airlines did a good thing here, putting Wi-Fi on their flights.
You know, I actually had the idea a while back.
For Wi-Fi?
Yeah, but my idea wasn't called Wi-Fi.
Okay, what was it called, Brian?
It was called Bri-Fi.
Wow, that's very clever, Brian.
Yeah? Get it? Bri-Fi.
Unfortunately, I do.
Because I'm the Bri?
Wi-Fi. Now available on select flights. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
He's the model of speed and precision. A machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Cell phones used to be just cell phones, but today you can't live without them, like water or coffee. They're indispensable. Take AA.com Mobile from American Airlines. I can book a flight, switch seats, or change my itinerary, all while I'm in line at the coffee shop. It's a wonder I ever put this thing down.
Manage your flight from the palm of your hand with AA.com Mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Of course, when it's time to pick up my double foam mega mocha latte, sometimes I need a free hand.
Now's your chance. Give Pete a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
And back here on the Pete Shepard Show at Patriots.com. Thanks for checking in. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Email me, webradio at Patriots.com. Facebook page is open as well. Getting back to the emails here at webradio at Patriots.com. Al says, hey, Pete, glad I found you. If someone else in the Jets called Brady an a-hole, I'd be all right with it. But anyone who has nine kids with eight different women is the definition of an a-hole. I like the way you think. Pretty good. Pretty good there. Al, let's go to, let's see. Here's a Steve on email says, all the hype, all the sound, and then the Pats will bring the fury. I fear the Jets from the West Side Story more than Rex Hard Knocks to Jets knocked out Ryan. Oh, and for the record, Pete, it's personal. Too bad Rex is bringing a butter knife to a gunfight. Well, I see, that's just it. Yeah, that's a very good analogy. One of the best analogies I've ever. That's what it is. It's a butter knife to a gunfight. And I'm sure Rex probably been told, but see, Rex has this thing where he's just not going to change at all, despite other people coming out and saying this is really not the way. You shouldn't really be fueling the fire with all this talking, but that's okay. Let him. Let him keep talking, because we've all seen the results in the past, what happens when people talk badly about the Patriots in the end. They, like I said many, many times, it's happened to so many different teams that come in here, teams much better than the Jets are, and have tried it and have all failed and have gotten killed in the process. But let's head back out to the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Dan Leberfeld joins us from Jets Confidential. Hey, Dan.
What's going on?
What's going on with you?
Well, just got out of the locker room.
I was hoping you were going to say that, because I'm waiting for some more interesting quotes.
No, I don't think anybody said anything inflammatory unless I missed that player. Actually, someone said something very positive. You guys remember Kevin O'Connell?
Yes.
The former Patriot.
Yes.
He said that Tom Brady is not what Cromartie called him.
Well, you can say a-hole on the show. That's all right. I mean, it's okay.
Okay.
I mean, you can certainly say it. I've said it enough about... To me, I don't know how you feel about it. I know you've been on probably sports radio this week around town in Boston, Dan. But I'm going to tell you, the talking is just so, to me, it's the whole thing, it's just so freaking childish. And no one general manager has come out anonymously and saying this is not something, and we know Rex isn't going to change, but it's just not something Rex Ryan should really be, you know, fueling to motivate his team, because it has backfired on many other teams a lot better than the Jets.
Yeah, it's obviously not a good strategy. It's hard to imagine Tom Brady preparing any harder than he already does. His work ethic is legendary, but maybe he does. Now do a little more film study on Cromartie than he already done. The thing about it is Cromartie didn't play well last week. You saw the game.
Yes, I did.
You saw what Pierre Garçon did to him. So you would think a guy coming off a bad game wouldn't want to put pressure on himself and himself entering another big game.
Yeah, see, that's the part that baffles me, and there lies the difference between the Jets and the Patriots. A big, you know, you can't come out and talk the talk if you're not walking the walk. I mean, and they are just not. Anybody who watched that game last week, the Jets didn't play a good game. It's just Indianapolis played worse. And if the Jets come out, I'm sure you feel that, if the Jets come out and play that way against the Patriots on Sunday, it might be 45-3 again.
Yeah, and the big difference between the Patriots and Indianapolis, obviously two Hall of Fame quarterbacks, two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Tom Brady has most of his weapons intact. I'm leading back to last week's game, why it was so close. I mean, they've got 18 guys on injured reserve.
Exactly.
I mean, you're telling me if Dallas Clark played,
of course,
and Austin Colley and Anthony Gonzalez, I don't think the Jets would have won that game. So,
I do think the Colts, they did not coach well down the stretch. And, I mean, I actually kind of felt bad for Peyton Manning because they went away from doing some things that were successful. I still don't understand that third and six call, that run.
Yeah, they had some strange calls, and the Jets, the Jets defense had a decent game. I think that Peyton Manning made a little bit of a mistake. I know Revis is a great player, but he only threw once to Reggie Wayne. If you have a great receiver, I'm not saying that you go at Revis, every other play, but you got to give Reggie Wayne more than one throw. So I thought that was a mistake. But they're just devoid a lot of their weapons in Indianapolis, and on top of that, their right tackle, their starting right tackle for so many years, it does a great job. Brian Dean was out of the game. So, I mean, people in the NFL don't like to make excuses when it comes to injuries, but I'm going to make one right now. The Colts are just one of the most ravaged teams I've ever seen, and mm-hmm. the Jets barely got by them.
Now, how do you think, how are the Jets, to me, I'm going to tell you my two quick points on how the Jets can make this competitive, and I want to hear you. The only way I see this being a competitive game is, number one, the Jets have to play flawless. And I mean flawless. And two, they have to force at least two turnovers for the game to even be competitive. Now, you tell me how the Jets compete with the Patriots in this game. After what you've seen, not only the second half of the season, but even so far from the Jets in the playoffs.
Well, the Jets have to somehow do what Cleveland did. I know New England has vowed to never let that happen again. But, you know, the idea of Peyton Hillis having almost 200 yards, that's very similar to what the Jets did to the Colts. The Jets dominated the time of possession, just like Cleveland dominated the time of possession against New England, and the best remedy against Tom Brady or Peyton Manning is keep them off the field. And you remember that time of possession in the Cleveland game. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. I think New England's run defense is a lot better now than it was in Cleveland, and that game was in Cleveland. This game is in Foxborough. But Jets really need to run the ball well, and they've got to get their nickel and dime situation a little better than things happened for them in the game in New England, because they're, we all know how great Revis is, but, it doesn't do you much good against New England when they have four of the guys out running patterns and they're not being covered well. Revis kind of gets negated a little bit in this game because the Patriots have a lot of good weapons, but they don't have one clear number one receiver.
No, I totally agree, and I was trying to explain to some Jet people the other day about this, and they forget that back in that debacle on Monday night, that the leading receiver in the game was Danny Woodhead with 104 yards. I mean, that's got to scare you if you're a Jet fan.
Yeah, and that's what, there's a player that they signed from the USL, and I think that they're crazy if they don't play him in this game. He was the defensive MVP of the USL. His name is Isaiah Trufant. He's Marcus Trufant's brother, the mm-hmm. Seattle corner. And he's one of those mighty might type guys, like the Jets used to have with Ray Mickens, where he's about 5'7", 170 pounds.
Yep.
He has world-class speed. He can change directions on a dime. If you're going to cover a Welker or a Woodhead, this is the kind of guy who has a fighting chance because, it's kind of like two point guards going at it. So, I don't know whether he's going to be active or not, but that guy could really help him in this game because whatever plan they had for Woodhead last time clearly didn't work.
But not only that, they just have, because of all the weapons that they have, because of the two young tight ends, not to mention the receivers, and then you also have to, can't discount now Tate, and even Price now is playing more, played the last game of the season. I just don't see, unless the Patriots completely self-destruct, which I just don't see at this point in the season. Right now they're just completely focused. They're just too powerful. I mean, they're just too powerful to lose this game. I don't see how this game is going to be competitive. I've been knocking my brains all week trying to find a way, but I've seen enough Jets games this year, obviously almost all of them. Certainly have gone back and watched highlights of all the games because you can do that, which is great about DVRing and all that stuff. And I'm just not seeing it. I think and Sanchez is one of those quarterbacks to me who's made some very nice throws this year, but he seems to take two steps forward and then one step back. And just when you think he might be starting to get over that hump, then you throw your hands up in the air and he's like, he's just okay. He needs to be great on Sunday for it to be competitive. Not good, great.
No, he's not a great quarterback, and he's dealing with a little bit of a shoulder. He's a good quarterback. I'm not here to insult him, But he's not a great quarterback because you can't be a great quarterback with a 54% completion percentage. The great ones are all around 65%, like Brady and Breeze and Manning, Matt Ryan now. You got to be up there. So that completion percentage is bad, but if they run the football, he can hit here's the way they stay in the game. They do run the football, and let's be honest about this. They have a myriad of weapons who are impressive players with Braylon Edwards and Santonio Holmes, Jericho Cotri, Dustin Keller, the tight end. Yep. So, you know, and I know the numbers are a little misleading because a lot of teams are coming from behind against the Patriots, but the Patriots were still 31st in the NFL against the pass. And while that number could be misleading because of teams coming back against them, it's still not a great number. So it does show you that for instance, with Matt Flynn, Sanchez can play like Matt Flynn, it might be a good game.
Yeah, but we've all seen games like that before, and people have brought it. And that's why the Cleveland game, you got to throw it completely out, because Gronkowski fumbled the kickoff. There are a lot of circumstances in that game. The Patriots got their butts. They just played lousy, completely lousy. On all three phases of the game, they played lousy. I put no significance at all in that Cleveland game. It's not a blueprint. The Green Bay game's the same thing. Matt Flynn came out of nowhere because Aaron Rodgers wasn't playing. The team was not up for that game. It happens around the NFL. What I think is more important is how the Patriots responded after that game, which is they kicked butt again severely the last two games, while teams like Kansas City were struggling to beat the Raiders, the trendy pick, the Chiefs. But what people aren't talking about, Dan, about the Patriots defense, and I do think that those numbers are completely skewed, many of them, because you can't deny this. The second half of the season, I've broken down the numbers, and I'm going to yell it as loud as anybody will listen to me. The Patriots in the second half of the season allowed only 15.6 points a game, which is really the only defensive number I give a damn about, which is 6.2 less points a game they did in the first half of the season. That tells me something right there. And I don't care what the numbers show about net yardage, because I don't care about net yardage. Those numbers can always be skewed. To me, it's about red zone offense, red zone defense, turnover ratio, which not enough is said about turnover ratio, plus 28. And that's another reason why the Patriots are going to win the game big.
You know, that's a stat that Rex Ryan has quoted 2 days in a row. He's blown away by plus 28. I mean, that is unbelievable. So, and Sanchez has a tendency to turn the ball over, though he's been a little better in recent weeks. But here's the biggest problem for Sanchez. You know, Belichick, with 2 weeks to prepare, is lethal, especially against a quarterback that doesn't read defenses very well. So I think there's going to be a lot of landmines out there for Sanchez, as far as he's going to think he's seeing one thing and he's going to see something else, especially when you give Belichick 2 weeks, because he's going to have the mother of all game plans. But I'll go back to the matches. I know that Devin McCourty had a tremendous rookie year, but he is a rookie. And then you look at Kyle Arrington. I can't sit here and say that when you have the Super Bowl MVP and Santonio Holmes and Braylon Edwards, who was an all-world talent at Michigan and had a good year this year with the Jets, you're telling me those two receivers can't beat Arrington and McCourty, for a decent number of plays? I mean, if they can't, then they're not worth. They're both in contract years. If they can't be two guys, like I said, McCourty's very good, he's probably not a rookie anymore this late in the year. But if those two wide receivers who have great reputations as far as pure talent, if they can't win some of the battles against the Patriots' corners, I'd be surprised. I mean, I just don't see how those two are going to be shut out. But we'll see.
Well, I mean, shut out is a big stretch. I mean, obviously they're not going to get shut out. But
shut out. I mean, like one or two catches. I don't mean literally shut out.
No, I understand that. And again, it all depends on how the game goes. But if the Jets don't get off to a quick start, it's going to get ugly, because I don't think this team has the character to come back. And against Houston and Cleveland and Detroit, maybe they get down early in this game by double digits, they're done. They are done. And because the Patriots are not going to take their foot off the gas pedal. It's going to be, you've seen it before. You know what has happened to the Pittsburghs and the Miamis and the other teams that have trash talked severely like this before and have tried to come in here and play, and they get mutilated. It's really scary if you look at the teams that have trash talked as severely as the Jets have this week and tried to come in here and win a game. It's the dumbest thing in the world. And I know some of the players, don't mind it. But I got to tell you, I think guys like Jason Taylor and Sanchez, he can't be, even though I'll never say it publicly, those two guys can't be happy. And I could tell from Taylor's comments on CBS on Sunday when he said, our coach writes a lot of checks and sometimes it's hard for us to cash. That said it all right there.
Yeah, that was a great quote. And actually, Jason Taylor, today was his day to speak. He speaks once a week and then after the games. And he did say, you know, he did get into the trash talking because he doesn't pay any attention to it, which is probably code for what you're getting at, like, I don't like it. You know, it is tough. But, you know, you wonder sometimes. This is the second round of the playoffs, and the Patriots are always a highly motivated, hardworking team. How much more could they be, you know, in those two departments? I mean, this is the second round of the playoffs. You would think players and coaches would be as motivated as possible, would prepare as much as possible. So how much more could they improve in those areas in the second round of the playoffs?
Well, I've seen it before. That's all I'm saying. I've seen it before. I saw this team had to listen to the Steelers twice. The second time when Brady had 103-degree temperature the night before that nobody talked about, and they still went into Pittsburgh and beat the crap out of them. That game was 44-27. It wasn't even that close. And we all remember, and Brady had 103-degree temperature the night before, and it was actually talk of him not even playing that game. So, I mean, I've just seen it before. If they don't think 45-3 can happen, start thinking 65-0, because I could see it. If the Jets come out flat, or if they come out and play the way they did, if the first three quarters against the Colts, do that against the Patriots, it's going to get ugly. It's going to get ugly, and they're not going to stop. They're going to put the pedal to the metal and floor them.
Yeah, and when you look at the Colt game, the Colts were, you know, defensively, they were without a starting linebacker and a defensive tackle that plays a lot. And when you look at the Jets' passing attack, the two corners that were playing, I remember they had put their best corner, Kelvin Hayden, on IR before the game.
Mm-hmm.
So you had one guy, Justin Tryon, a corner who they had acquired right before the opener from Washington.
That's right.
And the other guy, Jacob Lacy, a second-year undrafted free agent. And the Jets really did not get a lot done. So, once again, it points to the fact that against a team that was really, really down in the dumps as far as injuries, and I got the sense that, you know, I interviewed Bill Polian a couple days before the game, and it's like he'd never seen a season like this. Now they're going against New England. I don't know exactly what New England's health situation is, because that's always tough.
They're all healthy, except Pryor's the only one.
Pryor's near the Colts.
Yeah. But let me ask you this before I let you go, and thank you so much for taking the time. But on defense, really, and I was talking to somebody from the Jets a couple of days ago who also covers the team, and we were both agreed, the last 5-6 weeks of the season, the Patriots' pass rush has been a hell of a lot better than the Jets' pass rush. What has happened to this great Jets defense, preseason alleged great defense, where in the end allowed only 0.6 more points per game than the Patriots? Where was the pass rush of the Jets?
Well, the problem is they lack a pass rusher that you have to game plan for. They lack a pass rusher who's going to wreck the game for the opponent. They do have a good defense, there's no doubt about it. I mean, they have those two corners. Whatever you think of Cromartie, whether you like him or not, he's a good player.
Yeah, he is.
And Revis is a good player.
Revis is a great player.
Has played a lot better at safety over the last month. They just don't have that pass rusher. And when you play a quarterback like Brady, you don't want to blitz too much. And they don't have anybody who's going to just beat a tackle one-on-one. That most of their pressure comes when, you know, either there's a stunt or a blitz and somebody comes free at the linebacker spot, or they blitz a safety like James Ahedebo or a corner like Drew Coleman. That's a big problem. And they made a big mistake a few years ago. So let's not forget a guy that used to hurt the Patriots and a lot of teams named John Abraham,
mm-hmm.
who they traded to Atlanta, ironically, because this is when Mangini was here. And they wanted certain players with what they called core values. Well, you know, you think John Abraham, whatever his off-the-field issues were, he's fitting perfectly right now.
Yeah,
not
absolutely.
Only on the field, but off the field, and they don't have anybody like that now. And they've been looking now for 4 years. Vernon Golston hasn't worked out. They still have not found a guy like that. I know New England's kind of looking too, and Eric Moore's done some things, but that's killing the Jets right now. These opposing quarterbacks are sitting back there forever, and you know against Brady that's not going to work.
All right, before I let you go, tell me what you think the score is going to end up being here, if you can do that.
Well, I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think New England's going to win, but I think it's going to be closer because I can't imagine. Rex Ryan might be a little bit of a clown at times, but the man, you know, you sometimes forget, this is a very good defensive coach. His brother is now unemployed because Cleveland got fired at the staff, so his brother's probably helping him. So I think that while they don't have all the parts in the defense, I think the defense will play a lot better than that last game. So I think New England wins something like, let's say, 27-19.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. All right, I really appreciate it, Dan. Thank you so much. And Dan Lieberfeld of Jets at Confidential, thank you so much for being part of the Pete Shepherd Show on this Thursday. And we'll talk to you down the road, my friend. Take care.
Okay, Pete, have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye. Dan Lieberfeld of Jets Confidential. And thinks it's going to be close. By close, meaning the Patriots only win by 8. So he's saying the Jets cover, which I say is nearly impossible. But that's okay. That's okay. And the Patriots are going to put up more than 27. You can mark that down. They will have more than 27 points in this game. And the Jets, in my opinion, will have less than 19. As I said, we'll do my picks in just a bit. Let me just finish up some of these web mails. Webradio at Patriots.com. Hey, Pete, the New York Jets are going to have to make a new facility for all the game balls they're going to have to bury after their ass whippings they are going to get from the Patriots from Saturday and years on. The Jets were built to win this year, and this year only. The Pats are going to be forced to be reckoned with for years to come. With all the trash talking been going on, I believe that Tom and Bill now are going to make games versus the Jets personal and not just business as usual. No, that's not the way they think. They understand the rivalry. They're never going to get caught up in that stuff. Never. They do the talking on the field. They always have. They always have. And 99% of the time, it's been butt whippings. Bill from Kansas City, Missouri says, I just think it's funny that the Jets are talking all this smack about the Patriots, but the Patriots will not make any comments toward the Jets. I figured out why. It's because the Patriots have already proved that they are the best team. No kidding. They don't need to talk the smack because they just go out in the field and show you what they can do. While the Jets are talking smack, the Patriots are working hard preparing for their game and not just running their mouths. One more thing is, when the last time the Jets won the Super Bowl, which I brought up, technically it was 1969, was the 1968 season. That's the other thing. We've heard all this before. I've seen Richard Todd. I've seen the Jets go 10-1, down, lose 5 games down the stretch, win a playoff game, lose to the Oakland Raiders in the AFC Championship. I've seen them lose to the Patriots a couple times in the playoffs in 85 and also again in 2006. People forget that, the Mangini year. Mangini won the regular season game actually here in New England against the Patriots, but when push came to shove in the playoffs, the Jets lost by 3 touchdowns in that one, 37-16, if I remember correctly. So, yeah, there's a lot of history between the Patriots and Jets, and it's not Red Sox-Yankees yet. I don't think it's even close, to be honest with you. The Jets have to beat the Patriots in the playoff game for even that to even remotely occur. It's a great rivalry. Rex makes it fun because he won't shut up. But he's just really killing his team. He's hurting his team. And if they get waxed in this game, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. A longtime Pats fan says, I've been listening to New York radio quite a bit this week, and several of the hosts have said they think that Rex and the Jets players are just being stupid with all the ridiculous trash talk. They feel that it will just elevate the Patriots' motivation, especially Tom, and only hurt the Jets in the final analysis. Considering what an emotional player Tom is, I think there may be some truth to it. Just wanted to know that now that not all the Jets fans and media weren't really the stupid banter. Now, I understand that. I know there's been some people out there that have been kind of rational. But they just don't give you a lot of explanation as to why they think they can win. And I don't know how the Jets defense is going to be able to stop this Patriot offense. I just don't see it unless somehow they force at least 2 turnovers and Sanchez plays a flawless game. That's just to stay in it. That's just to stay in it. Well, Kev, it's time for my picks again. Do I have my pick music? Kev's on the phone. Sorry, Kev. This show has just flown by. Absolutely flown by. Oh, yeah, we're going old school again. Time for Pete's picks. I did them Tuesday, but I'll do them for you again. I'm going to give you the scores and everything else. 2-2 last week. Hit a couple, almost hit the Green Bay score right on the nose. 2-2 last week, but promising to go 4-0 this week. We start with game number 1 at Pittsburgh. Baltimore is a 3-point underdog. Pittsburgh favored by 3. I am going with the Ravens in this one. I told you, I think Baltimore's playing better right now. And for the simple fact is this, even though Baltimore beat the Jets in week 1, what is even more pathetic is somehow the Jets beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh. So that being said, how the hell can I pick the Steelers when I have absolutely no respect for the Jets? So I'm going with Baltimore. 19-17, they win that one. At Atlanta, Green Bay is a 2.5-point underdog. I love the Packers in this spot. Like I said all along, I've been saying for the last 10 weeks, if they got to the playoffs, I thought they'd be in the Super Bowl playing the Patriots. I love the Packers in this one, 27-21. Also, the toughest one to call this week is Chicago, a team that lost to Seattle early this year, but that game was in Seattle. The Bears are now a 10-point favorite They are at home against the Seahawks, and I just think the Seahawks are going to keep this one close because Jay Cutler stinks. And anytime Jay Cutler's in a football game, your team has a chance to lose. Not saying Seattle did anything great or anything to write home about at all, but I just have a feeling that they're going to keep this one close. I know they're on the road where they don't play well, but it's Cutler against Pete Carroll's having some fun and pumping it up, Seahawks. I just think 10 points is too much. Bears win, but Seattle covers. And finally, the Jets are 9-point underdogs coming in here against the Patriots, and I've said it for the last couple of days. I've been saying it for the last couple of weeks. All you have to do is watch these football teams play the second half of the season and watch the Jets play in that playoff game. The Patriots are simply on a different level than everybody else right now. It's not even close. Most of these teams are playing on JV level, and the Patriots are way, way up in the varsity. And if the Jets play like they did against Indianapolis this week, they are going to get destroyed again. It'll be worse than last time. And I'm not sure Mark Sanchez is all of a sudden going to find himself and be able to play the most flawless, perfect game of his life, and how Rex Ryan's non-pass rush defense is going to somehow confuse Brady in any way, shape, or form. Patriots 34, Jets 13. That's it for me. I'll talk to you next Tuesday on the Pete Shepherd Show. Thanks to Kevin for producing this thing. Thanks to everybody who chimed in on web radio at webradio@patriots.com. Also, thanks to all my Facebook friends. We'll talk to you next Tuesday, everybody. Have a safe and safe rest of your Thursday night. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the game on Sunday. Talk to you next Tuesday at 4 o'clock. Bye-bye.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.